Tango 1 at the top, we are at Palma Fuku. 10-4, Tango 1, you have control. Tango 1 copy. Stand by. Stand by.
Integrity, passion, resilience. That's what this place was built on. That's what our community is founded on. Don't act like the example, just be the example. This is the home of the greatest fitness community in the world. We're trying to create strong, able bodies, resilient to injury with a gas tank to get shit done. If there's one thing from this podcast, it's about taking immediate action, find the problem, fix the problem. This is your opportunity. It's either a hell yes or a fuck no. It's that simple.
You're ruining the Take One podcast.
Now is the time to take action. Now's the time to do more and be more.
Is it on quiet?
Is it on silent?
Yeah, it's on vibrate.
Put it on silent. Mike, you're co-host. I need you to be fucking on the ball here.
I'm on this, just turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off. But you can also take your seat since we're recording, whatever.
Oh, are we?
Ebony. So back on the teachers can't swear because somebody's going to listen. I know undercover cops that have Facebook accounts, but a teacher's got to change their names. Explain this to me.
It's not as bad anymore.
They got to change their names.
Well, yeah, because kids would find you. And then parents find you, or there's a picture of you having a beer. There's a girl, and I'm not kidding. She applied to University of Windsor for crim to be a lawyer.
Don't get fired right now, please.
She did not get hired. She didn't get hired because she had too many drinks in her pictures. They said, like, your lifestyle is not conducive to a lawyer. Yeah, man. No sweat. I do my best. Now, I can't swear at home because I have young kids, so I just go in the field around 9 o'clock at night and let it all
out. And then just yell it out. Yell it out.
All the deer stare at me. I get it out.
Got to read your intro off here. So, welcome to Tango 1 Podcast today. I am your host, as always, Tango 1, Tony Smith. And today we're trying something new. We've been getting tons of great feedback, and I've been having a blast doing these episodes with Mike DeFazio. You guys know him. Sick table in front of me. Mike is woodmaker in town, or woodmaker.
Yeah.
woodmaker, same. In town and
good with wood.
In the city, and he's one of a kind in his personality, also in what he does for his business. So he's here to co-host today. Big pressure. He's in the other seat to my right.
Finally upgraded.
And our guest today, Amherstburg boy, not related, Stu Smith. Stu is the creator, but I'm not going to say inventor because we're going to get into that, but has a one-of-a-kind invention from his family, the Rod Caddy, which, I'm going on vacation this week. We're going to talk about this tons and how I'm going to use this product. But I think, you know, Stu, I've known you for fucking, I don't know, almost 20, probably 25 years. Yeah. And he's a one-of-a-kind personality, so literally looking, does a hell of
better
a...
better or worse.
Does a hell of a Adam Sandler Waterboy impersonation. And and it has a pretty sick story that we're going to... that we're gonna share today. We had a couple of drinks because Irvin forgot his batteries. You guys know Irvin, he's always behind the set, forgot his batteries, so we want to have a couple of drinks, so this is probably gonna be a better podcast than normal.
Loose, we're ready.
Yeah, welcome to the show, boys. Let's go.
Thank you.
So Stu, man, let's hear about it. So you have this product right in front of us, and it's honestly, like they always say, like to sell something you need to find a problem and fix it, right? And for me personally, as I go to pack my truck on Sunday to go to the cottage with two little boys, we all have fishing rods. I hate it. I hate pushing these rods into the... I also hate when we get to the cottage and we have 10 little boys and five dads who may or may not have been drinking, that we leave all these rods just leaning up and there's like nowhere good to put them. Like, so you've solved the problem.
You go to take them out of the truck and it's the mess, right? The tangle.
Yeah, how does that happen? They didn't even move.
And before the Rod Caddy, like you'd put them in as gently as you could. You could wrap them. You could put like a sleeping bag around these things to try and keep them all separate, and they find a way to tangle. And really, that's how all this came to be. I mean, it's a long story, but
well, that's what we're here for.
I can start at the beginning if you want.
Well, that's what we're here for. Like, man, like how did it come about?
So this all starts with my dad, Dave Smith. You had to know my dad. He was like a consummate tinkerer. Consummate inventor. If he didn't like something, he would work on something to solve it. Like, as simple as this. There was a guy in the neighborhood that was getting in his garage and he was drinking his beer. And my dad was getting ticked.
Getting into your dad's garage.
My dad's garage. And drinking his beer.
So you can imagine. These are Amherstburg problems.
Okay. You are road problems. This is LaSalle, actually. This is LaSalle. LaSalle, Ontario. Has break and enter problems. So this guy was going and drinking his beers. And so my dad would have to go and lock the door every time. Well, he got tired of locking the door and having to have the key. So one day I go over, and his famous line was, "Hey, you got 5 minutes?" Like, that means 25 to an hour. Like, my dad would always say that. So I go over, and there's this thermostat, like, on the side of the garage, shows the temperature. He's like, "How do you think I can get in right now? Is it locked? Go check the door." I'm like, "No, it's locked." I said, "Watch this." He pulls, the thermostat's hinged, pulls it like this, and it's on a pulley system, and it unlocks the door and opens it.
Nice.
Like, this is the kind of guy he was. I'm like, "Dad, what?" Like, another day I go over, and he's got, you know, the pink insulation that you can cut, like the hard insulation, the bat stuff, or not the bat, the foam.
The hard foam, yeah. The
foam.
So he's got a painter's tray, and it's spray painted black, and it's taped up with tuck tape all around this thing, and he's got like a saran wrap on the front. And he's shooting it with a laser, with a thermometer. And I walk up, I'm like, what's going on today, Dad?" He's a beauty. He's like, "Well, I notice if the heat comes in the bottom, it's almost four times as hot at the top. And so I put baffles in to slow the heat down, the airways, so that the heat would get hotter." I'm like, so what are you going to do with this?" "Well, I don't know. I just think that's cool. It's free. I just got free heat." Like, this is a guy. Okay, so a little backstory what we're dealing with. So one day we're at my sister and brother-in-law's, and he says, "Hey, you got 5 minutes?" "Of course, Dad, I got 5 minutes. Yeah. I got an hour, sure."
Yeah.
So he comes over, and he's got a fishing rod broken down in two, which we normally wouldn't do. I guess sometimes on vacation we wouldn't. We'd Velcro the straps, and or use Velcro straps to, like, kind of put them together. So he's like, "I got this idea." So basically, he comes to me with not this, but a very crude example, is like a big tube here and a little tube here, and there was no strap in between. And he says, "If I break down my rod like this and I put one tube here, basically one tube here and one tube here, and we Velcro that tube to, like, one of the eyelets here, I think we got something that's going to stop us from getting broken tips and all the tangled messes all the time." I'm like, "I think you're onto something here, Dad. But what if we did this? What if we put just a bungee cord in between the two, drill hole, and we'll make a prototype and we'll put a bungee cord on it?" He's like, "Oh, yeah. That might work." So within a day, he's back in my house. Like, "Hey, you got 5 minutes?" "Oh, sure, Dad." Shows me the prototype. It's got the bungee cord on it. I throw it over my shoulder like an arrow in a quiver. And he's like, "Son of a bitch, we got it. That's it."
So how old is your dad at this point?
Yeah.
And you're like in what? Your
oh my
your
God. 30s? No, this is 5 years ago.
Oh, 5 years ago.
Five okay. years ago.
This is this early. Okay, that short ago.
Five and a half. Yeah. So he's 70 years old. Like, the guy never stopped. He's the story about him. I mean, the takeaway is two things that kind of run through my mind. If you have an idea, 99% of people say, "Oh, I thought of that 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, because you never follow through. He's a guy who always followed through. And the second piece is, you're never too old. He didn't care. And he hits his big idea when he's 70. So I guess the Coles notes, in a way, I shot a video with my iPhone of, like, "Hey, we'll just do, like, a real, not really a commercial, but, hey, tired of this, broken rod tips and tangled messes, try this, the rod cutting." And we sent it off to one of the biggest fishing manufacturers in the world, fishing rod manufacturers in the world, and they came back right away and they said, "We're in." And I look at my dad, I said, "What do we do now?"
Yeah, like, what do you do now?
We got a prototype, man. We're dead. We didn't think anybody'd come back and say yes. So we worked with engineers, we worked with designers, and we worked with this company and came up with, in essence, the rod caddy.
Did you have a patent at that point?
So we're pursuing patent at that point. We had a non-disclosure. Like, okay. Basically, we gave them rights to sell our product. And they did. And for three years, we were in all the biggest of the big stores. And but the problem was, before we even went to market, my dad got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And within 3 weeks, he was gone.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
So we went from being partners on this and really getting excited about going to market. So he ends up passing. I was a partner. I'm like, well, I got to take this on. I got to take it over. I believe in it. But you can imagine young kids at home and teaching. Like, my wife wasn't thrilled, but she's so supportive. Like, she's awesome. So I basically take over, and the guy that we're dealing with at the company leaves the industry. And right away, I got a bit of a cold shoulder from the other people. Like, first of all, I didn't know who my point person was to talk to. This guy was awesome. We developed it with him from the ground up, in essence, like from our prototype to this. So for 3 years, I kind of battled. We butted heads. They were a great company, and we sold tens of thousands of them. But I always wanted to push the envelope a bit. That's my personality. Like, let's get creative. Let's have fun. Let's take the business serious, but let's have a lot of fun while we're doing it. And they wanted, no, we want our branding this way. Don't mess with our branding. Don't mess with our branding. So at the end of 3 years, I couldn't wait. And I said, okay, I'm pulling the plug. I'm going to do it my way. I got to sit on this for a little bit and think about it. And I was teetering of like, do I give it up because I got teaching? It's a lot, and young kids at home. But Gina, my wife, says, you've always talked about Dragon's Den. What do you think? I'm like, no. That's the last thing in the universe I want to do. She says, really? It's kind of a last good shot. Then you can go out. If you decide you don't want to do it because it's too much to do on your own, then you can sleep at night. And I'm like, all right, I'll apply. Whatever. I apply. A few months go by. You don't hear anything. I'm starting to sleep better. Like, all right. I don't think anybody's going to call me back because I'm putting this thing to bed. We're good. And this might be the easiest interview. You guys don't even have to talk. Apparently, I just verbal diarrhea. Verbal diarrhea. Yeah. I told you it's a long one.
There.
So I applied to Dragon's Den. And then 4 or 5 months later, I get an email. Like, hey, Stu, we got your application. Would you be up for an audition? I'm like, my hands are sweating just thinking about it. Yeah, sure. And then audition one goes. And then audition two. Hey, we want to do a second audition with you. So you'd have to come up with
these auditions
on a computer.
Like Zoom?
Yeah, Zoom. Okay. I'm at home. So I've got a 90-second elevator pitch, which is 90 seconds to sell that product and basically explain what it is. So I've got that down. I've got it all memorized, and then it kind of opens up a bit, and she gives pointers, and she was amazing to deal with. So in the second interview or like audition, she says, I have 2 questions. I forget what the first one was. And the second, how would your dad feel knowing that you're going on Dragon's Den? I'm like, well, he'd be, what? I'm going? She's like, you're on the show. Oh my God. What did I do? It's one of these. Hey, like, I was terrified, man. And I've been skydiving 4 times. Like, I'm used to risk. And then I end up going on the show. And the doors open up on the show. If you've ever watched, like, I used to watch it all the time. Doors. And I remember saying to the guy, I was so nervous, I felt like I was going to pass out. Like, I'm just standing. And the director goes, okay, 5, 4, 3, hold. I'm like, 3, 2, hold. And there's a guy standing there. I said, hey, you probably get asked this all the time, but those doors open up automatically? Like, do I have to push it open? He goes, yeah, they open. So you probably get that a lot, eh? No, you're the first one. You're on.
That's a question so, I would have asked.
Yeah, yeah. I was starting to laugh. Yeah. Like, whoa. And then I got my 90-second spiel. But I remember the lighting. There wasn't a single shadow. It was heavenly. Like, I just got a glimpse as I was walking out. It was overwhelming. It was the most beautiful set. I've never done TV before, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a beautiful set, and it was terrifying. But it led us to all these really cool places. And, like, and just even the growth from that show and the exposure from that show was insane, right? So I came back and I didn't get a deal. They beat me up good on national TV.
So let's talk about that. What happened up there? Like, what would you change? What would you do different? What'd you learn?
Or is that exactly how you wanted it?
Yeah, exactly, right? Because it is your product, yeah. Right? That's
those
the thing,
are two
too.
Awesome you, questions.
Good, awesome.
Because initially, I would have been
why
you're
here, Mike. Fucking right.
I would have said, what did I do wrong, right? Like, I would have thought, oh, what could I do better? I don't think I was super prepared. They edited it, so it was like kind of a nice guy from Amherstburg. And I'm okay with that.
Well,
the music's
kinda,
like, doo dee doo dee doo. As I'm walking out, as they edit, I'm like, they're going to make me look like the dumb guy. No, no.
That's kind of true. You are a nice guy from Amherstburg. You one time went behind the bar at Shooters and made me a whole batch of chicken wings.
See? I'm a good guy.
You
like,
are a good
probably
guy.
Poured your beer or two.
You might have.
So
that's a whole other story. But
yeah, that's another podcast.
Yeah, I've got lots of questions.
I got a reason to come back. You can't just give it all away. So what could I have done better? I was super prepared. I knew my numbers inside and out. I knew I did research on all the dragons. I don't think I could have done more, to be honest. And like teaching, this is going to sound cheesy, but on the drive home, like, hey, what went well today? What could I have done better? Whatever. And it really, I was doing that from Dragon's Den huge. And at one point in the show, so this is where, like, kind of, Mike, what you're saying, like, where it led us. At one point in the show, they said, so will you quit teaching to do this? And I laughed. I'm like, I didn't say that. And then they all laughed. We all laughed. And the show took a turn. I'm a fan. So I know right away, okay, the wheels. Everybody's like, and then I say that. And I could see, like, you know, books being closed. Like, no deal. And so I just spoke my truth. They spoke their truth and went away. And I really took what they said, their advice, seriously. Because these guys are all business pros. And I didn't want to be the guy who's like, I'm defending a loser of a product. No, I know it's a winner. And I'll just be gracious and say, like, because you've seen it on the show where they get combative and defensive. And like Gordon Ramsay goes in to rescue somebody, right? And they're like, oh, we got the best thing in the world. Well, then why'd you call me in?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Be open to advice. So that was the big one. Once they said, I wouldn't quit my teaching job. Because like, you want me, a dragon, to work for you? I'm like, yeah, I need some daytime hustle here. Let's go.
Let's go.
And so anyways, I come home.
Did you say that?
Well, yeah, I said, I need daytime hustle. Come on, we'll partner up. You like money? I got a winner product here. Anyways, so it was a total adrenaline dump, right? Like, I come back, and I didn't sleep the night before. I was exhausted. I see my family. We're all in Toronto. I go for dinner. Some tears just spontaneously come out of my face. I think the relief, right? Like, the stress. It was months of buildup. So I come home, and I can't tell anybody. I obviously told Gina, like, hey, this is the way it went, but we can't tell anybody. I signed an NDA and all this stuff. So we're watching the show at my house with my family, which was surreal to see yourself on TV. Yeah. And like, at one point, I'm on the show and they're all talking to me and like asking questions kind of at the same time. I'm just doing one of these. And I forgot I was on the show. I felt like I was on the couch watching it. And you're like, Stuart, over here. I'm like, oh my God. Oh yeah.
Stuart.
Yeah, and the full name. Like, oh.
The so burn.
Now I'm watching the flip side, right? How they edit it and all this. And I was just terrified how they were going to piece it together. But they did a pretty good job. It was pretty honest. And at the end of all this, a good buddy of mine and ours, Kyle, says, hey, I was hoping that it turned out the way it did. I'm like, oh, you're a good friend. Thanks. I appreciate that. He says, no, I want to be your next dragon. I'm like, what? He says, me and two other partners, one's a serial entrepreneur and the other guy's like, super analytical. They all bring different things to the table. We want to partner with you. So the crazy part of this story is I went on national TV looking for a dragon, and it was my dad's neighbor, Kyle, who I got to know because of my dad. Full circle again. And so now the four of us are involved in this, and we're gloves off, man. We're having a ball.
That's a sick. I love that story. That. Like, well, one
guy's probably long,
so. Heard Kyle on this podcast before, and he's a friend of Mike and I's, and not just a friend. He's like, you have a business relationship with him. Mm-hmm. I have very much a business relationship with him, and so do you, which is hilarious.
Kyle gets around, eh?
Yeah, Kyle so. Gets around. He dragons a few people, but I love like your question because that's like that. That's a question of a successful person, a confident man too. Like, or what did you do right? Like. Does just because they didn't like it didn't mean you didn't do something right.
Yeah.
And you did apparently because like you kind of gave it your all for those guys, but like you said, it's had exposure on the TV that you were everybody else got to see you too. And they're not the only people that invest in businesses up
right.
there. I actually wonder what the stats are to see like how many deals get rejected on the show and picked up immediately right after the show. I wonder what the stats would be for
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And I was curious how it played out because it looked like I'm killing the business because dad's gone and I don't have a deal. It was the opposite.
Yeah.
I came home and we ramped up like crazy. So they just had a rerun the other day and I knew because my phone's blowing up. I'm like, what's going on? Orders are pouring in.
Nice.
I'm like, Kyle, what's going on here? We're getting a big bump for something. He's like, Dragon's Den rerun. So the first time around, we didn't have any content. We didn't have anything, really. We had the old stuff with the company we were with. So everybody thought we were out of business. Now this time around, they're like, oh, the guy did keep it up. And then Dragon's Den actually reached out maybe 2 weeks ago for a follow-up.
Like the where are they now kind of thing?
Yeah. I'm like, please come and visit me. Like, I would be so excited to say, here's our warehouse. We're shipping internationally. We're shipping globally. Like, we're having a hard time keeping up. And we're awesome. Going next level. Like, I really hope that piece, man, comes through.
I love it.
It'd be a nice happy ending to the beating, bro.
Yeah, man. But, I mean, I think it's like, I think it says a lot about your character, too, to, like, be like, you know, like, a lot of people probably go on that show, or even if it's not on that show, have that meeting with their potential dragon, their investor, the person that, you know, they know has the capital to invest in. Like, where some of us do not have that capital to build this thing to where we want to get it, right? To get right. warehouses, to get shipping channels.
Mm-hmm. Oh, molds made, all that stuff.
And to say, like, instead of you saying, what do you want me to do? Right? You're saying, no, this is what I want to do. Do you want to be a part of it?
Yeah.
You know, and that, I think that's fucking solid, man.
Well, the challenge too, is like, you guys know, being in business, is that there's a lot of emotion for me personally tied to this. I want to see my dad's legacy, and it's really hard to try and remove that as a business owner. And they're almost married. The story and the product, I think, are both incredible.
Right. Yeah, like I would never try to get rid of that. I think that's gonna be like, I mean, like, you think about the whole story of like fishing in general. It's your dad. You and your dad spending time on the water, fishing. It's not even about catching the fish. It's like, that is literally tied to this product, regardless of if you want to remove the story from it or not. Like, I would lean into that so hard, because that's going to be a huge selling factor.
And that's the part I'm embracing now. But after Dragon's Den, I'm like, did I just fall in love with the story and it's my dad? And maybe the product isn't as good as I thought. Like, there was a quick blip there. I'm like,
well, I think there's two sides to that with what both you're saying. Like, I think there's so much value in that story. The garage built in our house from my wife and I. Like, you know, there's so much nostalgia to that. But, like, I know you have, I don't know if you still do, but you have people that you've paid to advise you, consult you.
Oh, yeah.
And I just had a meeting with my guy, Dan Goodman, just, you know, 20 minutes before you guys walked in, an hour and 40 minutes before we started the podcast. So, thanks, Irv. So, you know, I just had a meeting with him, and he, like, you know, he cares for me, but he has also that view that's like, I'm not attached to this.
He's
story.
Removed enough to give you good advice.
I'm removed enough to say, like, business wise, no good, right? Yeah. Like, I think you need that, like, balance of both of that.
I
like,
think, both.
You know, I think that's a super important part of probably, like, you partnering with Kyle
for
and,
sure.
and I, whoever.
And Katie, and
Katie. I was going to say, I just didn't know if she was part of it. I didn't want to drop the name if it wasn't true. And
sorry,
that,
Katie.
You know, you've got, like, part of that, like all of that happening too, to be like, no, Stu, like, yeah, it's a great story, but at this point we need to, we need this too. Like,
Well, and the cool part is everybody brings something different. So Katie's got, like, Kyle and I feed off each other. There might be a beverage involved. There's hydration, but we have a list on my notes in my phone this long of ideas to shoot, and then we'll write a script and we'll film it, and it's all like, the budget is zero, and you can tell.
But that's awesome.
We have a lot of fun. It's all it's as organic as it gets.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like
the Rodfather video. One, Kyle McDonald's a security guard. I right away I had to, like, I couldn't watch it. I'm sorry, Kyle. I had to turn it off.
Of course, He gets the cool guy. I'm the weasel walking like, hey, Rodfather, I got a problem. You sorry, you know? Broken Tony won his own broken rod tips. It's a mess. We got to clean up. And this is Kyle's role. With a suit on and sunglasses. It took us half a day to shoot that, because I'd walk in and Kyle's on my left and he just stands all stoic and, you know, cool guy. And I walk in and I go, meh. And I look and he burst out.
Oh, yeah. I would never do that.
So other times, like, how you doing, muscles? And then I go and he just, we couldn't keep it together.
I'd be crying, man.
Oh, my God. But what gets done, like, the community piece in this, we got no budget to hire actors. And, like, who'd we even know? But our group of friends, you know, like, a lot of the same guys I know, say, boys, if I get a couple cases of water, can we start at 8:30 in the morning and see what we come up with? Yep. I'd have all the scripts written out. Like, the most underqualified director, writer, whatever.
I watched
the
one with Ballas on the fishing deck. And you guys keep hitting him with the microphone. You keep, like, of course, implying something different. You're tapping him on the lips with the microphone button. I'm like, oh, my God, you guys.
Like, we're in tears. Or Brett Charlebois coming out, you know, doing the Baywatch skit where he's running down, rescuing a rod caddy with a blonde wig on. Like, we're in stitches. And we wrote it for ourselves, like, selfishly. We're going to have a great time.
For sure.
But talk about vulnerable. You put your sense of humor out there, and people either get it.
Or, yeah, they're going to love it or hate it.
Or, and some I thought were going to be home runs, like, and other ones I thought, like, oh, I'll just throw this together. get, like we were talking about that earlier, right? Some of the stuff you put out there, you're like, ah, I got to put content out. I'm not lazy or copping out, but it's not my best. And it takes off. You're like, so the last year learning curve, my God.
Yeah, we were talking about that before too. Like, it's kind of disappointing in that you put all this work into some of these things. To try to make it funny, to try to make it serious, to try to make whatever. And like, I don't know about you, my best video on Instagram is like me in these stupid bathing suit I bought at some thrift shop. You know, short shorts. Am I a whore? Maybe. Then that's it. It's 8 seconds long, by far the most viewed. Corey, who does some of the best Instagram, Corey, who used to be on here, level 10. He does some of the best Instagram content ever for value. And then the fucking guy like has this video of these horses that he pretends are talking in the barn. And this thing is still, he's still like, is getting like, it's like over like a million, like Sandro too. Sandro, a guy who comes to our Kingsville gym, made this thing. The guys are jumping off boxes and onto the next one, and it's got the Super Mario music to it. This views are like flying, right? Like, hilarious. It's like, you know, like, it's not about really, like, sometimes about the information you're putting out. It's just about soul entertainment. And can you do it in 8 seconds or less? Yeah. Or, like, our little attention span, right?
Everyone's like, okay, you got to frame it this way. You got to have a hook, and then you got to really draw them in for retention. And then you have to have a call for action at the end. Like,
in 3 seconds or less.
Yeah, in 3 seconds. Yeah. How about I just go topless and let's see what happens. Right, you know, one view.
What about you? You got one of these things that's kind of hit? You do more videos than anybody I know.
I don't know, because like I most of my like energy just goes into my stories. Like, it's effortless. Like, it's like, I talk to people about it all the time. I don't think anybody watches any of my stories, but everyone's like, I watched you say this and watched you say that. I'm like, I feel like no one watches.
Are you kidding me? You do that thing where, I don't know what you do. You like spin the camera and come back around.
It's pretty sick.
And every time my face, I'm in the morning or I'm taking a dump and I'm like this, I'm like, I just start smiling. Good morning, everybody. I go from like just a, like stoic to like I'm smiling. I'm in a good mood. I'm in a good mood. I don't even care what you say out of that. Some piece of walnut for sale, like whatever, right? Look at this beautiful walnut.
Yeah, because in your industry, I'm sure everybody wants to play it straight, right? But if you take a different angle on that, like, oh, dude, that's your personality shine.
My shop is so like full of jokes. Like, we got jokes all the time. How can you even work in a wood shop and not be having wood jokes flying everywhere? They're constant.
Oh, yeah.
The wood jokes.
You guys are the perfect combination because we got this all guy. All the puns, perfect, man. Yeah. To protect my tip, we got wood. You know, what's...
Oh, yeah. Rod envy.
Right, like, you guys are like the perfect like sexual innuendos.
Oh, there's,
like,
there's a million with it. My jokes, I hope my puns are just funny enough that HR doesn't call me.
You are
That's
HR,
how good
man.
I want to get.
HR doesn't work here.
No, I mean on the school board. Like,
Mr. Smith, can you come in? Sorry.
We did put that disclosure in. The things you say today are not, you know, the views and messages of the Essex County School Board.
No, it's not at all.
These are
I'm Stu.
I'm speaking as Stu the Rod Father.
Yep. Yes, as the Rod Father, speak to me.
So as a teacher, an entrepreneur, an angler, like, so did this came from your love of fishing, I would assume, right? Like,
for sure. Used to go up north. Like, we were talking earlier, you're going up north tomorrow, so
right.
And what we would do is pack up your rods, and you know the pain, whether probably don't break them down, or you do break them down, and then you can put elastics and do all this, and the tips break, and there's a big tangled mess, and transporting them is a pain in the butt. And so once this, I'm always reminded, whenever I go fishing, which is quite regular, like in our backyard, we got a 90-foot wide pond. It's 16 feet deep. I fish every day. Like, nice. I love fishing. And all my rods are in my 99% of them. I might have one just hanging out because I'm using that every day. But I've got a spike this big in my garage wall, and there's 9 rod caddies all just hanging from it. Because I'm constantly reminded, like, in business, I would think anyways, anybody who's like introspective, like, you question yourself, like, oh, what am I doing right? What's not? What can I do better? And I'm constantly reminded how great this product is, because you go fishing, throw it in the front seat, back seat, under your seat, in the trunk. You don't care because your tips are protected. Like, now your tip's down here, and you can throw this over your shoulder. Kids riding their bikes now with two hands.
Like,
not.
That's the part that kind of like intrigues me.
Arrow, yeah.
I like that. Like, one, I look like with this mustache and that. And that thing on me like a Robin rifle, Hidden. Walking down to fishing, like, Danny, control yourself. But I think like that is something I never thought of that I need. So my boys and I walked down to the water the other day, and it's only, you know, probably a couple hundred yards from our house to where we go fishing up front. But like, annoying, And especially when they're short, the boys. Yeah. Like, I'm short as it is. You know that. You know my life. I'm like,
I'm short too.
Bro. Nobody on this set is fucking tall. Irvin's nope. the tall one. The point, the shooting guard at 6 feet, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
5'9".
But what I was noticing, they're walking down with these like long ass rods. If they had that, and they're trying to carry their water bottles, and they're not helping me carry fucking anything else because they've got these things, really right? Cool.
I got mine.
I think that's a huge. So I like a lot of people will be listening to this show. So if you guys can imagine this, so Stu's made a product where you, you know, like almost every fishing rod, except for the super expensive ones, I guess, you're able to break that down in half. So he sticks the rod end in a thicker end, and then splits the other side down, and the tip goes down where the rod handle would go.
Yep.
And there's another piece of plastic that goes on top, and basically a zip line, like a nice zip line or bungee,
neoprene adjustable strap. And now within seconds, like I've done this 1,000 times, within seconds, hands free, protecting rod. It's not going to tangle.
So you got no line in there, but that doesn't matter, right?
That's no, but usually good. I will have line. And even if I've got a lure on there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Can I keep my lures on there? Because that is, for me, that's my biggest
you
setback.
You can. And there's plastic little Velcro straps that I've got that cover really? Your lure. Yeah. I'll give you the cider. Oh, I'll
so
give you.
You've got like a, you got it's a lazy little add-on man. Already to
well,
your.
Well, it's not mine. It's not mine. But. It's just because I'm too lazy. I like keeping them on, but I don't want to hook my kids or hook me. So it's just a little plastic strap. It's like Velcro on three sides and sandwiches it. Like, it's awesome. But usually what I'll do too is if I have a leader on, I'll just snap my leader onto one of the eyelets and then take off my bait, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for this one, I think I was changing this over for vacation tomorrow. But yeah, this is what it looks like in packaging. It's super nice. Condensed. Super condensed.
Yeah, so I've got 7 of these in a bag over there, heading up to surprise my buddies with these things. I think they're going to be thrilled about it. I know you did. You're doing something for the listeners, right? Like,
yeah, thanks. We're going
to
do
throw that out there before everybody tunes out at the end when you try to throw the sponsor. So let's talk about that right now. Because this is awesome, guys. Like, I know there's so many fishermen in this gym and people that listen to this. All you tack guys out there, you love the outdoors.
For sure. And we don't do like promo discounts. We kind of leave it. We might have one in the summer, like for early opener, but we want to do one for the audience here. And if you go on therodcaddy.com, I'm sure there'll be some sort of font somewhere. Do I do this?
Herb's on it. He's making notes. Like, look.
Ding. if you go on there and you type in Tango 1, all in lowercase, you'll get 25% off. A rod caddy.
That's amazing, man. And that's a huge discount.
That's a thanks to you. No, honest to God, it's a thanks for having me on. Like, I gave you the discount for those because I'm like, this is awesome. You're buying a bunch, and you're it's about local and helping each other out. So why not send that to your listeners too? It's on for about a week, I think. So it's not forever.
Better get on.
There's your call to action. You gotta buy one now.
Herb, be careful what you search there. Like, dog daddy or something you're gonna come up with. I don't know. In your safari search bar, what comes up? But no, that's amazing. So guys, go on there. If you're looking for this product, look it up. At least I know that people are gonna look it up. And that goes for Mike's crowd too, and that means that your crowd, the rod caddy crowd, join the garage gym.
Let's go.
Join the garage gym.
We're gonna be doing a little synergy. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But it's been a riot, guys. Like, thanks a million. And if you guys like super cringy, I'm the captain of cringe and Kyle, and I teach that way, and you'll see our videos on whether it's TikTok or social media. They're awful, but they're great. They're super cringy, and we're having fun, so check them out.
Nice. So was your dad, was he like you in terms of like this is how you, like, so you guys know, like, known Stu for a very long time. This is how you are. Like, all the time, like, the different voices, the being hilarious, the, like, you know, playing jokes on the waitresses and and your buddies, like, that's how you are, that's how you've always been. Is this what your dad's like? Would your dad be upstairs right now and he's just, like, laughing and rolling his eyes at you and the goofiness that you're bringing to this product? For
sure. The one thing, so my dad was a prankster, like, we had something called the bush rat.
Oh, boy.
He took a mink.
Where's this going to go?
Get this. He took a mink off of his mother's coat. Like an actual, they had fur coats with minks on, like 1,000 years ago. So he took this mink off and he'd run fishing string. So it'd be in the corner of our shed. And he ran fishing string to it. And that fishing string went to this loaded, like 2x6 that was sprung loaded up to the roof. And then a fishing line went outside and there was a little handle, just a spool of fishing line so you couldn't see. So when you pull this, it releases the spring loaded bar. It goes bang. And this thing flies at your face. Like, I'm not kidding. We got at least 1,000 people. I couldn't believe psychology. How's this for like learning what people are like? People come over and my dad, whatever, we're hanging out. And he says, we lived on 4 acres, like out in the bush, or 8 acres out in the bush. Well, you ever seen a bush rat? Oh, what's that? Want to go see if he's there? 99% of people. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'd be like, especially knowing my dad, like, nope. Hey, you got 5 minutes? I'm going to show you a bush rat.
Yeah.
So we go out there and we'd always have this big, perfect stick, like planted, right? Hey, grab that. And it'd be at night, whatever, you'd have a flashlight, like, oh, he's here. Poke him. Give him a poke. Again, 99% of people would take a stick and poke an animal they've never seen. and I, as they're doing that, I'm reaching around for the string, right? And then bang, and you know what's coming. The glory of the bang scares the hell out of people. And then it flies out at your face and the string is just long enough. I saw captains of football teams pushing their girlfriends out of the way, running, screaming like girls. There was one guy, we were in Kingston, we went up north and he rigged it up in this guy's barn up north. And I kid you not.
Nice.
Pulls it, flies out. It came off the string, and the guy's in these. He's got these Adidas shorts. They're nice Tony shorts. They're both
this. Oh, the short shorts. Yeah, short shorts.
And he turns around. He's got no shirt on. It breaks off, and you see him turn around like this, and it landed on his neck. He dropped like a pancake, and he's going. He's going. He thinks, you know, there's two fangs that are just going to bury it. And we're all hysterical. And after about 5 minutes, he's rolling around. And he finally gets his wits again. He's like, "I thought you're all just rotten humans. You're all laughing as I'm getting attacked by this animal." But he got Jehovah's Witnesses. He got my 96-year-old
Jehovah's Witnesses.
There's a woman who came. Jehovah's Witnesses came. I should say, sorry, people of a certain faith came to sell their faith. And he says, "Hey, you ever seen a bush rat?" "No, what is this bush rat you speak of?" Goes out and he nails it. And at the end, I was there. They said, "You're a sick human being. You're a sick, sick man." And got in the car and left. And they never came back. So this was the kind of stuff. Oh, my God. He used to pick up the phone back in the day before, you know, caller ID and stuff. And he would just open up a book and start reading from the book, whatever it was. You just pick up the phone and start reading. I'm like, oh my God, is that girl I like? I hope to God.
Yeah, I can see where you get it from.
He was doing this stuff all the time. So he taught me a ton. And he was my best friend. I miss him dearly. And so I think it's kind of full circle where we're going to make a business. We've already made a business out of this. And we're going to have a hell of a lot of fun doing it because that's the way he wanted to do it. And sincerely, I say this from the bottom of my heart, it's not about one red cent, not one penny of this matters. What I would love to do is have enough money to just rent a cottage for a week and tell my family it's on me. Would have been what Dad wanted.
That's amazing.
Sorry. Yeah. 5 years later. Yeah. Still gets me. So that's kind of the full circle, like the story, the product, and keeping that legacy alive. I'm pushing hard and it's things like these that are super helpful. So thanks, man.
It's amazing.
No, I love the story behind it, man. That's like...
Ended on a real high note, eh, guys?
Yeah. It's good. It's good, man. That's like, that's the real authentic stuff. Like, that's the stuff you can't force or pretend. It's like, it's the real stuff. And like, people smell it.
Yeah, absolutely.
When it's fake. You know what I mean? Like, if you got to try and piece together some sort of story, it doesn't work the same.
No.
When you got like a real story with a real product that resembles something. Like I said, like, Joe Schmo that buys this will have that same memories with his dad,
yeah,
or with his kids or something like that. They're still going to share that same feeling that you're talking about with your dad. That's such an amazing thing.
You got it. It's a bunch of warm and fuzzies, man. A whole bunch of different ways.
Yeah, like imagine your dad looking down and me and my boys are climbing into a canoe with rod caddies on,
and that's
the thing
it.
That he invented, and going out to enjoy
that's it.
Quality time that yep. you know that he had with you.
Absolutely,
and
it's like,
know,
every,
and then
every
you guys
one
still
of
wish
sold.
You had really, right?
Yeah, well, 100%, man. I miss him every day. There's not a day I don't talk to him or think about him. And with every one of these, I say sold, but whenever there's one of these in somebody's hand, it's like a bit of him still around, you know?
Right. That's like a legacy.
It's a legacy thing. So I'm working my ass off to see it through, and make no mistake, it fixes a problem. Anybody who's fished knows tangled lines, you know, broken rod tips are a total pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
It solves that problem. And it's a cost of a lure. So it's not $100. Like,
Nice.
We're pushing Lures are fucking expensive these days, huh?
I spent $150 at Canadian Tire. Didn't buy a rod. It was like hooks.
Yeah.
A couple
of my boys pick up. Plastics. I go, let's pick two each for the cottage. And they're like, come back. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Tristan, you ever fish?
No, but I do have two fishing rods now.
Do you actually?
Yeah.
Seized them from one of your apartments?
Yeah, yeah. I had a tenant that decided to stop paying rent. And he left his place trashed. And we went in there. I got fishing rods. I got weights. I got a boat. Or like Lisa said I have a boat. I got to call it a dinghy.
Nice.
I call it a boat.
I got a boat. Like, there was a boat. Gets you in the water. Who cares?
I'm like, I pick it up. It's like this big deflated thing. I'm like, I got a boat. So nice. I'm a proud owner of a boat now. And I got fishing rods. And we actually went, my brother and my dad, we went fishing the other day. And we caught nothing but a couple of fish like this big. It's pretty sweet. I caught the bait.
Caught the bait.
Yeah.
It's like golf. You hit that 300-yard, 250-yard drive once, you're hooked.
Yeah.
What are you going up fishing for? What are you going for?
I'm a top. I love bass. Smallies are, like, I've been catching them locally and, sorry, that'll sound real nice. Huh? I've been catching them locally and then putting them in my pond. So I've got four or five largies and they're eating. I have thousands of sunfish in our pond. So the first thing I did was go out and catch largies and release them in my pond. And they're getting big and fat and like. But smallies are the best pound for pound. Pike, it's sacrilege in this area to say, but I'm not a river guy. I don't like jigging for, and everybody else does. I mean, I'm just
different. You're jigging for pike?
No, I'm topwater, crankbaits.
Yeah, but you wouldn't jig for pike, do you? Is that
I've caught pike in 2 feet of water.
Yeah, when we do the pike, like that's an easy one for us to catch in that little lake I was telling you about. And we,
two spinners.
We drag.
You do, eh?
Yeah, it's actually, it makes it real easy to catch those, where we are at least. There's not much going on in that pond, like that lake that we're in, so probably.
I'm working shorelines, I'm working, if I see cover, deadheads, weeds, I try top water first. That's just the way I love to fish.
Yeah.
When you throw that, we were talking.
We get some success earlier with the top water there too, but it's like, I find like I'm like fucking constantly getting stuck in the reeds. Yeah. Like
catching salad fish.
Yeah.
You could set up weedless too. You can go weedless with like wacky rigs and all these different baits. But I grew up, my dad just taught me, here's two split shots and a hook, and you put a worm on. You drop it, reel up three times, and you wait.
What the hell's a split shot?
It's just your weights. It's the ones that open up.
Okay.
You use the pliers, and you open them up, and then you close them. So that's how
I'm closing them above your lure, or you're closing them below?
Above my hook.
Above your hook.
All I'd have is a hook, two weights, and a worm.
Right.
And drop it, reel up two, three times, and wait.
I mean, we got that guide, and I think we all overthink this a lot. Like, I'm watching all these shows, and then this guide brings me up there, and it's basically a similar setup with a fake fucking worm.
Yeah.
Not even a real worm.
Yeah.
Right? And we're throwing it in there. I guess they smell those things. They have, but yeah, do they really? Do they really?
Guys, they're talking about WD-40.
Labradors?
They put WD-40 on all these things, and what do? I go and buy it all. Doesn't make any difference. Gina, my wife, we're trolling. We were on. She was 8 months pregnant. We're up north and we got in this hidden bay like we were talking about earlier. The water is usually, it's so narrow, the water's so low you can't get in. Well, this year there was so much water we could get our boat in, so I put the prop all the way up and we got in, and there's not a house, there's nothing on. The water's super black, it's not moving, it's awesome, it's almost eerie, it's so quiet. Big rock faces all around, so you're sheltered. First cast, 3-4 pound bass, monster, bring them in. Gina's got a pike on. Just a hook and a worm, like we're drifting. She's catching pike on just a worm. So we go in there, they're biting, it's amazing. This huge storm comes in. And I look at Gina, I'm like, you wanna go? She's like, no. My wife, no, they're biting.
That's right, Villanova girl, man.
Oh yeah, Villanova girl. And again, she's back there teaching now, full circle.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
So she stays, and like, what are you gonna do if, you know, nature calls? Well, here's the side of the boat, hang it over and take a leak right there. She's a trooper. So nice. The rain is coming and pouring and pouring and pouring. We're fishing through this. We end up going back. It's starting to get dark. My sister is standing at the dock crying. They sent out a search team looking for us because they're like, what are two guys and a pregnant woman going to do for 7 hours? There's no way that they're fishing through this. She's pregnant. She's going to have to use the bathroom and all this. And we came in. I was in so much hell from everybody. Everybody thought we flipped the boat and we're dead. Like, no, they're biting. They're biting. So that's Gina, man. Like, we go in there. Even tomorrow, we're going to go up. Our kids, we bring them out. They'd be like infants. We'd have toys and put them all on the floor. and we fish for 4 or 5 hours. And now my kids will go out for 4 or 5 hours. They know you're getting in a boat. Well, we're fishing.
Yeah.
And they're casting off the dock in the back and they're catching the largie. So, but I love smallmouth pike, like smallmouth, especially just to fight, but I'll take them any way I can.
Yeah, man. It's awesome. There's a certain rush that goes along with getting fish, man. I'll tell you that. Catching a fish, you're like, oh, this is kind of okay. All right, I'm having fun. I'm at the cottage. Oh my God, I got a fish! Yeah. Yeah, and you're just like, and everybody gathers around. You reel this thing in. It's like a shark you're pulling in, right? You're like, I get to put the flex on too. Like, get a picture.
Look at this.
We're being honest here, right? And then of course you hold the fish closer to the camera, right? Like, so it looks huge.
My brother-in-law caught, I'm not kidding, it was a little bluegill like this, a sunfish. And I'm like, push it to the camera. And he pushes it right up. It fills the whole screen, but you can tell he's a mile back, right?
Yeah.
We're just goofing around. But
so Casey, who used to be the co-host, he comes up. He lives up there. He's a northern boy, so he meets me up in the thing. And the guy's been fishing his whole life. And he tells me up in the Sioux, you grab the fish by their eyes. So instead of in their mouth, so I'm holding these fish by their eyeballs and posing for these pictures, and people are calling me Captain Insano. Speaking of Adam Sandler, Captain Insano, right? They're like, what are you doing, Captain Insano? I'm like, I don't know. This guy's so many fish like this.
Well, it's the Sioux, man.
That's wild.
Boys from the Sioux. Well, they're like Windsor boys. They're a little different.
Captain name is for Insano.
We used to do that to the pike. We get some big pike in the boat, and you're little like, oh. It's a lot bigger when you get it in the boat, right?
Yeah.
It's at your feet. And remember, we if you just pinch your eyes a bit, they'd freeze. Or it's just animal abuse. I don't know.
Probably more. They can't see. They freeze because you blinded them.
Some group's going to be emailing you saying, PETA, whoever. Yeah. Whatever works, man. And some of those big boys, you get up there, you just grab them by the gill underneath so that they don't get you. But there's stories of guys, too, that are rinsing their hands off in the water. And a pike or a muskie will come up and just shred their fingers. So even if you're cleaning off fish guts and stuff on the water, I usually do a quick scoop.
That's not going to make the kids want to swim off the dock.
Yeah. If you're swimming, you're good.
Yeah, they said the kids came swimming out real fast one day. Ty's kid, actually, came swimming out real fast one day and said that they saw a huge fish. They said, bigger than me. And then, sure enough, down the way on the water, somebody caught a muskie that was like massive.
Oh, I love
it. Like river monsters, man.
Crazy.
Like Lake St. Clair and Lake Erie, they're monsters all around. We're spoiled here, and yet I love going up.
Well, what was the world record, right? It was caught in the Detroit River last summer, no?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? What was it?
Even Crystal Bay, there's good fishing in Crystal Bay. Like, there's something here for everybody.
I'm distracted when I'm out there.
Yeah.
Distracted. Wow. Distracted by the beers.
Yeah, the beauty of the nature.
The landscaping.
Yeah.
The
landscaping. Yeah, absolutely.
The landscaping.
The landscaping.
So I got to take a minute here. We haven't had a podcast in a while. I got to thank Murray Insurance for being a sponsor of the show since day one. And I got to give them a shout out because last night a tornado hit Harrow, Kingsville. Kingsville's pretty messed up. And they were out there running around serving their clients like they always do. They had no power at their own house, their own business. And they're out there making sure that other people are okay, and they're going to get set up and make sure if anybody's ever had to make an insurance claim, one of the worst things is that initial like destruction you're looking at.
Yeah.
But having somebody out there reassuring them that they're going to get everything they had back and more is something to be a shout out. So big shout out to Ian and Kara and their team. Look them up at Team Murray Insurance. And we have our other sponsors, HQ Nutrition, which I think Stu wants to do a challenge. We got a little HQ Nutrition pre-workout here. You guys know I love HQ Nutrition. Pre-workout's only a every once in a while thing for me. I'm always hitting their test boost and their focus. But today we're going to do a little challenge with me and Mike in this pre-workout, something Stu's got set up. So let's hear it. What do we got?
Okay, I'm just getting voluntold.
Well, Irv's getting plucked. Look at Irv. He was like practically asleep back there. Now he's jumped at it.
All right. You guys are the guinea pigs. You're the first.
All right.
It's not so your first time.
Here's what I'm thinking about doing. Here's what I want to do. I want to support like local businesses and challenge different people at local businesses. And you guys, it's a natural because we're already here. So basically it goes like this. Hey, I know what makes a rod caddy great, protects your tips. You can travel hands-free, tangle-free, blah, 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 blah. Now, what makes Garage Gym so good? So I want to give you the floor to tell me what makes your product or company so good.
Garage Gym's product is our culture, man. It's our community, and it's our ability to get the most out of people no matter where you're at in your fitness journey.
Beautiful. See how I flipped the tables? This is nice. I like
that. There you go. Welcome to the show.
I'm now the guest again.
So what makes your business so great?
So our shop, we focus on making the most unique and long-lasting quality-made pieces for people's homes and businesses.
Beautiful. There is no segue. That was just a shameful plug. Here's the challenge. What I want to do is this. Since you guys are in your, we could have done wood chips because that's your industry, but I think this would taste a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
So if we're dealing with popcorn, we'll put popcorn in our mouth. If it's beer at G&L, whatever. So with you guys, since you work out, I know protein's a big thing. So I want to do the fish face. We don't really even have a name for it. The fish slap contest, fish face off. Fish face off. Oh, I like that.
Fish face off.
So here's what we're going to do. Each of us are going to take a scoop of that product. We're going to put it in our mouth. No water. We're going dry. Rock, paper, scissors. The loser is a recipient of a slap in the face from one of the fish. And you cannot laugh. If you laugh, you're out.
I'm done.
Oh, DeFazio's done. Okay? This guy is like, I'm like, when you said this challenge, I'm like, fucking right, DeFazio's here. He doesn't laugh at everything.
So
I got to try really hard.
You guys, I want to see you guys... Since I'm the guest, you guys got to do it to each other first, man.
All right.
You guys are the staples.
All right.
Here. So it's one big scoop, rock, paper, scissor, whoever loses. Now, I would ask you to be, you know, like rated PG with a slap. We're not going, like, it's not like the Russian slaps, you know, where you see on TV.
Whoever goes last definitely has an advantage. So this has got to stay in our mouths, is what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. I feel like I'm going to laugh putting that.
So what kind of fish is this that I'm holding?
That is an Asian carp, because it was made in Asia.
Asian carp. Irvin, I'm sorry.
They're very invasive.
Yes. Yeah, Irv, like, yeah, once a year, the Asian carp.
I don't think I've ever even done.
People are out fishing in front of my yard.
Oh, yeah.
The Asian carp.
Dry pre-workout.
I lived in Korea for 2 years, man. Asians are my people.
All right.
That's not even a full scoop.
What do you mean? Oh, my God. I don't have a clean scooper
for you. Do we have a chaser for this?
Caffeine and cold coffee here today.
Good right. plug.
Okay, so here it goes. Once it goes in, I'm done talking. Once it goes so you're in, on you're the done. Mic, Stu, okay?
Okay, yep.
All right, game time.
Delicious. As it's clumping in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be rock, it'll be on shoot, okay? It'll be rock, paper, scissors, shoot, and then we go. Are you ready? He's laughing already. You can't laugh. Ready? On shoot. Ready? Rock, paper, scissor, shoot. On shoot. Let's do it again. Rock, paper, scissor, shoot. Rock, paper, scissor, shoot. All right. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Tony. All right. Let's go again. Oh. We should set a time limit. You guys are going to choke to death on this. You're tapping out undefeated. Undefeated. All right, here we go. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh my God. Fazio's gonna die. He's good though. He's good. All right, call it or quits. Call it or quits. Gentlemen, you were the first recipients of the challenge. Thank you very much. Now he spits.
Did it spit out?
Yeah. What?
It's caked in there.
Right. Oh, I've done the pre-workout dry before.
Oh my God!
Great product, but I don't suggest you hold it in there for 5 minutes.
Maybe add water.
Well, undefeated though. Undefeated.
That's impressive. So okay, I challenge everybody else out there. Maybe we've got to get Tony to challenge the next person.
Yeah, bring it. The next person.
That's pretty good.
Maybe we should get G&L involved, eh? Because that might go down a little bit easier. Or lot 10. Somebody with beer.
We appreciate you guys listening. As always, please go follow the show. Stu, this is your last chance. Get in, whatever you want to do to plug. What is And don't forget, go get your 25% code off using code
TheRodCaddy.com. Tango1. Tango1 is your code, all lowercase.
And how do they find you?
Instagram? The Rod Caddy. Oh, yeah. Social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Basically, I'm a teenage girl right now.
And Herb will have this all in the show notes, of course, for you guys. Cool. So thanks very much for coming on. Thanks, Mike, boys. Thank you for co-hosting today.
Oh, I love it.
We look forward to having you guys in the future.
Now's the time to do more and be more.